The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 8th chapter. When a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to Jesus, he said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock. And as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil, and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard, and the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. In Acts chapter 8, you'll read the story about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. The Ethiopian eunuch was a member of the court of the Queen of Ethiopia. He was a pious man, believed in the God of the Old Testament, the God of the Bible. And he was in his chariot on his way somewhere, reading from the book of Isaiah. He was reading from it and didn't understand a passage. Now Philip was nearby, and the Holy Spirit told him to go to the chariot, and so he went. And when he got there, the Ethiopian explained to him, "I don't understand what this means." He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shears, he was silent, talking, of course, we know, about the Christ. And so Philip filled in the blanks for him. He helped him to understand that this Old Testament prophetic passage was fulfilled, and he shared with him, as Luke tells us in Acts, he shared with him the good news about Jesus. Somebody who's faithful, somebody that believes in God and his word and his promises, they want to know more. They want to know more, and they want to understand that word, and they want to understand not just facts about it, details, trivial things. They want to understand how it applies. What does it look like? When it applies to me, how it is played out in the real world? Otherwise, if you think about it, what is the word? What is the Bible? Well, it's just stories, information that maybe you can have in your head, maybe you can pull out if you ever play a Bible trivia game night, but just details that maybe make you a little more annoying than other people when you correct folks about names or dates or places. There's information, but no actual answer to the question, what does this mean? What does this mean for me? For this reason, this desire to have God's word applied to us in a way that we understand and can live with it in our lives, we are thankful for the parable of the sower from the gospel lesson today. You see, so many parables we know, Jesus gives the parable, and sometimes he ends with what he ended this one with: those who have ears to hear, let him hear, and then that's it. He moves on to something else, says something else, does something else, and his hearers then and now are left trying to draw the lines and say, well, this represents this, 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 and so forth. But not with this parable. Not with the parable of the sower. The disciples ask him, "Lord, what does this mean? What's going on here? What do these things represent?" And Jesus does them a massive favor, and he answers their question. He does it in such a way you could almost consider it like a t-ball game. There's the tee, he puts the ball on it and just whacks it so easily, or lets them whack it, as it were, to understand this parable and its place in their lives. Essentially, he says, people hear the word, some people believe, and for these reasons, some people don't. It's safe to assume all of you, I think, understand the categories that Jesus lays out in the parable. You understand all four of them. Some people, they hear the word and like the path, it has absolutely no effect. They could hear even the clear verse that we all love, "For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would have eternal life," and it's like nothing, water bouncing off of a metal roof. Others, they do believe, but then a little bit of difficulty arises. A cross that is promised to a Christian rises up in their life, and well, it's easier just to walk away than to have to deal with that cross. And still others, of course, I call it the American problem, they have distractions. Money, people, things, good things rise up and choke out the faith that was there, and it does not continue. And of course, the good soil we know, those that hear the word, it plants home, grows up, bears abundant fruit, good Christians, if you want to put it in short. But more than just know the categories, each one of us, of course, knows people that fit the bill, right? We understand from our own experience how this plays out in real life, knowing people. Christianity has had no effect in their life. Knowing people, they have maybe been a Christian for a while, but difficulties have driven them away. Knowing people to where distractions and things that they deal with in life just sort of choke out the faith, and they drift away slowly and over time. I think that's a good explanation of the parable right there, but I do think this, we are shortchanging ourselves if that's as far as we go with what our Lord tells us in Luke chapter 8. We're shortchanging ourselves if we just have that simple explanation of why some people but not others. Yes, I do think Jesus is giving us a broad explanation. Why are some people Christians and other people's not here? But yes, I also think that there is a personal application for us here as well, those of us that are, broadly speaking, the good soil. Okay? If there weren't, I think it'd be very easy for us to hear this parable and say, well, okay, so I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. Clearly, in the parable, I'm the good soil. And then we just sort of stop right there. We say, I'm the good soil. I thank God that I'm not like other men. And then we just go on with our lives. But just as Jesus is not giving us, in this parable, information about why some are not, but not others, so we can have this head knowledge, so too is he not trying to give us grounds for complacency, grounds for thinking, well, I clearly fit in the good category, so this parable is now, for the most part, irrelevant to me. Now, that's not what Jesus is doing. What Jesus is doing in this parable is he wants us to remember that every day of our lives, constantly, we need to cultivate the soil of our own hearts so that we as Christians remain the good soil that he speaks of. Even if you're not a farmer here, even if you're not a gardener, even if you've never even kept a houseplant, I think it's safe to assume most of us here in this room, apart from the really little ones, understand basic botany. We know how plants work. We all remember science class, biology in middle school or high school, about how seeds work and what they need to grow, thrive, and so on and so forth. We all know that the seed, that's the thing that actually has the power. We've got good farmland here, don't we? But if you don't put any seeds in it, that field is just going to be just as bare in April, May, and June. Well, it's just going to be bare. That's the thing. You need to have the seed. The seed's got all the genetic material for the plant that's going to be grown, regardless of what it is. You need to have it. But, of course, the opposite of not planting any seeds is just as important, and that's what this parable is telling us about today. You see, we can go on and on about how important good seeds are. You need to have good seeds, but if you have a bad field or a bad garden or a bad pot for that plant, whatever, you're going to be sorely disappointed when it comes time for that seed to sprout up and grow and bear abundant fruit. There will be, in effect, no harvest. You see, God's word, as Jesus explains in the parable after the parable, God's word creates and sustains faith. That's what does it. To be a Christian, to believe in God, to believe in his forgiveness in Jesus Christ, you have to hear the word, which proclaims that, so the Spirit can work on your heart, and you can become and stay a Christian. But if that heart is or becomes hardened over like the path, if that heart is or becomes rocky like the rocky soil, if that heart is full of weeds, which will rise up and grow with that seed of the word, it will be choked out. The word will not have any lasting effect. Faith will suffer and perhaps even, as he says in the parable, die. Yes, broadly speaking, Christians, you and me, we are good soil. But we all know that an untended garden, an untended field, will eventually go to seed and not be receptive to any good seed that is meant to be planted and grow up for a harvest. I want you to imagine a gardener who goes out to plant his tomatoes or her tomatoes in the spring, and you see that garden, and there's a lot of grass and other sorts of things native to Illinois growing up in that space. And you say, "Friend, aren't you going to weed?" And he says, "Well, no, I weeded last year." You say, "That's not how it works." Imagine a farmer who says, "Well, the seed is powerful. It's got all the stuff that we need to have the harvest in the fall. And you know what? I'm going to save a little bit of time and effort this year. And I'm just going to dump the seed on top of the field. It's only a few inches away from where it needs to be." We all know the absurdity of this. And if somebody ever said this to you, help them out. Take them to somebody who can show them the right way. But friends, that's what we're doing. That's what we are doing if we just hear God's word without thinking about the ground that it's being planted into, without taking any application, action for it in our lives, as if it's just information or something. We're like the silly gardener or farmer who doesn't understand how things work if we do not cultivate where the seed is planted. Now, I think an obvious question at this point is, what does this cultivation look like? What does it look like to cultivate our hearts so that God's word, his seed, plants home in us? I understand the sower, I understand the parable, I understand the explanation, but what does this look like for me? Well, each one of us here, of course, is different. Different ages, different experiences, different inclinations, different temptations in our life. So I can't get, of course, here in the pulpit, too specific. But I can say this, generally speaking, if there are people, if there are things in your life that affect your heart, your soil, for the worse, and they're having more of a bad effect on you than you are having a good effect on them, it is prudent to distance yourself, prudent to take a step back, seeing that the positive is not flowing from you to them, but the negative from them to you. For the young, and this is one I speak from very, very personal experience on, for the young here, if the video games that you play make it hard for you to concentrate during a sermon, during confirmation class, even during school or any other good thing in life, well, the solution isn't to make sermons, confirmation class, school, or whatever else, more like a video game to trap and keep the attention to compete with that. But maybe the solution, or the obvious one, is to distance yourself. Turn off the computer. I wish someone told me that when I was 10. Would have saved a lot of heartache, and I would have gotten better grades. For those of you who are a little older, if you find your worldview, things you think about life and morals, being less shaped by God's word in the Bible, less shaped by the Christian faith that you are in, and more shaped by what you consume in your media, television, newspaper, or the like. If those things tell you what's what, and you say that, and when it comes in conflict with Christianity, you choose the media, maybe it's time to cancel a subscription. Or for anybody, just whatever age you are, if you find yourself and your schedule and the things that you think are important in life crowding out church, crowding out the eternal things of God that we gather here every weekend to receive, maybe it's good to take stock and reorder your priorities so that these weeds are not growing up and choking out the faith that God has given you. Of course, I could go on. There's a billion examples, but the point's been made. There are a million things in life that can contribute to the soil, to the field of our heart, going completely to seed. So for the sake of the Lord, for the sake of Jesus Christ, who bought you with his own blood, I exhort you today, keep your heart in check. Keep your soil cultivated. Let your heart always be receptive to the word that God gives you, repeatedly and repeatedly proclaiming to you the day of your salvation. Keep that heart cultivated so that word plants home and grows up into strong, abundant plants and produces abundant fruit. You see, the gift that God gives you in Jesus Christ is far greater, far better than any of the passing pleasures and things of this world. Money comes and goes. People, they come and go too. But the word, that's the thing that God says, as we heard in the Old Testament lesson, the word is what endures forever. And when that word is planted home in our hearts, it has the true power to well up into springs of eternal life. So cultivate your heart. Cultivate where that word comes. Hear the word and hold fast to it in an honest and good heart so that it may bear fruit with patience. To Christ, who is the word of God, be all glory now and forever. Amen.